Please rise. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. His brother will be liable, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." This is God's word given to us this morning under the theme, "Be reconciled in Jesus." Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I just gave away my sermon as you listened to the children's message. But this is something that our children also need to learn and experience and understand. Anger. The one who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults is answerable to the court. Whoever says raka, that's the literal translation of the word "you fool." And raka literally means numbskull, a person who has nothing between their ears. You see, you're diminishing God's creation there, and you're placing yourself above creation, above the one who has been created, by literally telling God that you didn't give this person a brain. All of these are subject to hellfire. So if you come and offer your gift at the altars, Jesus would say, remember your brother who holds a grievance against you. Leave and first go to him or her and be reconciled. The calamity that is pictured for us, my dear ones, is one person's hatred against another. Please don't understand Jesus' meaning now. He is being very precise, actually, listing put-downs, name-calling, accusations, anger. The word anger doesn't mean just losing your temper. That happens to all of us. We're human beings, as you heard with your children. They even become angry. No, what Jesus is talking about is the hatred and the anger that is taking root deep inside your heart. It is smoldering like a slow fire. It is seething emotion that is eating away your inside like a cancer, and you wish the other one was dead. That's murder. Oh, you know what I mean. You and I know exactly what Jesus is talking about. Each of us have been there. Repent. Such simmering rage is a distressing reality, not only in homes or at school or at the workplace, but sadly, dear ones, even in the church, including this congregation. The bitterness and the hatred, the unleashing of anger, and we don't even bat an eyelash, since this is an all too common occurrence. We just mark it up. That's the way he is, or that's the way she is. And we leave it at that. What surprises and frightens us is that Jesus is condemning all of these. He's condemning these dark emotions. They are, he says, yes, rightly, murder. His word is very clear. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer who is empty of eternal life. Therefore, isn't it obvious to each of us that a majority of murders here in the United States and even within the church are not committed with knives or with guns or with clubs, but with thoughts and words? These are all born of anger, designed to destroy our brother and sister in Christ Jesus. Each angry dart is thrown as to damage or destroy. Let me take you back to your childhood Some of you are closer than others. I understand that. But let's go back to your childhood. Remember, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never harm me. Sounds nice, but it's absolutely false. It's clearly not true. Words do hurt. Words do destroy. Words do commit murder. Wise old Solomon tells us from the 12th proverb, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of wisdom brings healing." A few chapters later, Solomon writes, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a devious one breaks the spirit." Oh, how I have seen this so often. Oh, the people that we harm. And we rarely realize it. And if we do realize it, there are some who just don't care. They deeply wound their brother and sister in Christ Jesus. They force them, if you will, to choose to give up their faith or quit coming to church altogether. Yes, I know I'm preaching to the choir. The ones who should be hearing this are those who are angry and not here this morning. They are still stinging. And since they are still singing, they think that since this anger is so deeply rooted, that maybe they can take it somewhere else. They can go to another congregation and pollute that congregation with their anger. You see, the bleeding gash of anger needs an urgent treatment. What's the antidote? You and I know it well. Jesus tells us this morning, "Go and be reconciled." What Jesus does not tell you, dear one, is leave your congregation and find a better one, or leave forever and attempt to find your own way in this world. Even worse, attempt to work your way into heaven. No, he says, leave your gift, exit the service, seek, and when you find, go and be reconciled. Now the question is, just who is Jesus calling to action? Jesus is speaking of the wrongdoer, the one who has made you angry. They have made you angry and you confessed your sins, and they heard your confession, but it fell on deaf ears or a hardened heart. And they simply slink away from you, holding that grudge for as long as they so desire. That affects many of you here. I know this well. But Jesus is also revealing the responsibility of the victim, of you. So when you stand to pray, if you hold something against another, forgive him. Forgiveness, dear one, is your great antidote. And as you heard with your children, Jesus, who is faithful and just, will wipe away your sin. You are restored. But the other person, that's not your fault. That's between them and the Lord. You see, without the Lord Jesus working in your life, you will find yourself struggling mightily. And you should not miss the clues that Jesus is telling us in his word today. In these verses, he is reminding you and me, and he does it four times, by the way, that our rival is not our enemy. No, he is our brother and sister in him, our fellow Christian. How jarring for someone to slur his brother or sister in Christ and then come to God's house with all of that anger and thinking that the Lord will accept them. You and I know this well. In every war, soldiers come under attack. And sadly, at times, the weapons that are unleashed upon them are from other Americans. Yes, in the military, we called it friendly fire. You've heard it before. Death at the hands of your friends. To redeem you, and to reconcile you to your Father and to one another, by the way. Jesus became incarnate to live and to die. Here at the cross, Jesus reunited you and me to our Heavenly Father. We have been reconciled to Him by the blood of the Lamb. God ended the war that He did not start, transforming us, His foe, into His friends. Yes, you sin, and I sin daily and much. We do this in thought, word, and deed. Still God chose to treat you not as His enemy, but as His dear son or daughter. So therefore, He sent His Son. He sent His only begotten Son on a mission of mercy. His friendly fire, God's friendly fire, was placing all of your sins and my sins onto His Son. And in His dying and in His rising, Jesus restores what you and I made wrong. Yes, I know. I know it for a fact that forgiving someone who has harmed you is very, very hard. Yet consider whose you are and what God has done for you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Through your Redeemer, the Father joins Himself to you, and He has forgiven you of all of your sin. Just as you heard with the children, your heart has been wiped white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. Thanks be to God that we still live in His grace, that He freely gives to you. And the person who has wronged you, they still have time. Pray that the Lord will pierce their hardened hearts and lead them to repentance. You see, the Lord is a merciful Lord, and He is full of grace, and He does not desire the death of anyone. Rather, He desires that all be saved. So now, therefore, please let me close with a short little story. This is actually a true story. It's a story of a woman that none of you know. She is from my home congregation back in Illinois. Her name isn't important, but what is important, that her heart held a burning resentment, and she fumed against a man who harmed her verbally with words many, many years before, even before I was born, by the way. Very often this man would seek her forgiveness, and each time she would refuse, growing more and more and more angry. Finally, the man simply gave up, and he gave it to the Lord. As the years passed, and her loathing for this man entrenched deeper and deeper and deeper into her heart, the man ultimately became very sick, and death was at his door. That Sunday, her pastor preached these words to her: "Go and be reconciled. Be reconciled to your brother. The word at the right time, and the Holy Spirit will do His work when and where He wills." And He pierced her hardened heart. When she heard these words of her Savior, tears began streaming down her face. I saw them myself. She immediately left the service. We were all astonished. She didn't even remain to hear the rest of the sermon. We had no idea where she was going. But ultimately we found out that as she drove to the hospital, she stopped to call the man on the phone. The trip for her was about 20 or 25 miles. She stopped at a payphone. She rang him up and said, "Can I come and see you?" And she heard on the other side of the line, "Yes, come." His voice was hardly recognizable. She gets to the hospital and she rushes in, and the bed is empty. There are two orderlies there, and they are stripping off the sheets from the bed. And she, in a panicked question, shouts, "Where is he?" Suddenly, the man's nurse appears from nowhere, and she says, "The Lord took him home no more than 5 minutes ago. But he told me that there would be a woman looking for him, and he told me to give her this piece of paper." And she handed a tiny sliver of paper to the woman, and scrawled on that paper was these words, All is well, dear one. I forgive you. Yes, dear one, all is well. I forgive you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.